Coming up on KUCB News, the region's aviation landscape is changing thanks to a new route out of Unalaska, and statewide voters have defeated a ballot measure aimed at protecting salmon. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, November 8th, 2018. St. George Island has a new air carrier. Grant Aviation won the community's essential air service contract this fall after Pennair decided to drop the route during its bankruptcy proceedings. Residents of the notoriously hard-to-reach island are hoping the change will bring more reliable flights, but they're not sold yet on their new provider. KUCB was on the very first flight and brings you this story.
Emergency exit came in, push button, turn handle, went over the right wing, pull panel, throw window. Let's go to St. George.
Grant Aviation's inaugural flight to St. George Island is leaving about 3 hours ahead of schedule. That's worth noting, as reliability played a key role in the federal selection process that sent a $1.8 million contract to Grant over two competitors.
We're going early because of the winds.
Rob Kelly is Grant's president. As we take off, he tells me that the airline moved up today's schedule to beat an incoming storm, expected to blow 60-knot winds or higher.
We'll be able to get into St. George. We will not be able to meet the Pennair flight coming in St. Paul.
That's not ideal for the first run on Grant's new route, which goes from Unalaska to St. George Island to nearby St. Paul Island and back again. But Kelly isn't too worried. He and I are the only passengers booked for the round trip, and the sole traveler scheduled for pickup in St. Paul won't make it anyway because of weather. He says that leaves him to focus on the real goal of this debut flight, which is to smooth things over in St. George.
Making sure that the community knows we're going to do what we need to do to take care of them, and that's why I want to meet with the mayor and just try to answer any questions he may have.
Kelly is expecting quite a few questions from Mayor Pat Pletnikoff, concerns and complaints too. The mayor is waiting in a truck on the airstrip when we make it over the island's cliffs and touch down on St. George. Current population, 62.
So you made it when it's nice. And that's good.
That's good, yeah.
Maybe that portends what might happen in the future.
Yeah,
I know. You know, let's keep positive thoughts, right?
Let's do.
All positive thoughts aside, the drive into town is a little bit tense. Pletnikoff says inconsistent air service is one frustration among many in St. George, which struggles with low population, limited infrastructure, and a high cost of living.
I want my people to be taken care of. I'm tired of being treated like a mushroom. You know what they do with mushrooms, right? What they say about mushrooms? Keep them in the dark and feed them. Feed them blank.
The mayor lays out his criticisms of Grant during a meeting at the city office, where about a dozen elders, tribal leaders, and municipal employees have gathered. He tells Kelly they were all hoping that the contract would go to a different airline, given Grant's reputation around the region, a reputation for flight cancellations and less than stellar communication.
Got telephone calls and talked to people at ATCA and talked to people at Nikolsky and Accutane, and as you can well imagine, the news wasn't good.
Right.
You know, people are pretty unhappy about the kind of service that they've been receiving.
And that's what we recognize.
Kelly says he gets that, but he's here to assure St. George that Grant is working on those issues.
We've had some struggles in the past. We changed the management.
They've also replaced a plane that was damaged beyond repair last year in a belly flop landing at Unalaska's airport. The pilot in that incident was dismissed too.
I had one King Air in Dutch for quite a while. We now have two. We have two pilots now. We only had one before, so that we've got redundancy.
Back at full strength with planes and pilots, Kelly says Grant will be able to serve all of its destinations in the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands more reliably. He says they'll have the flexibility to adjust departure times to avoid bad weather, along with the manpower to make up for inevitable cancellations more quickly.
We want to meet y'all's needs, and if we fail to perform, it should only be because of weather.
Well, that's good to hear.
That's Mayor Pletnikoff again. As the meeting wraps up, he tells me he'd still prefer a different carrier, but he thinks Grant's visit has gone pretty well.
Well, you know, it's a beginning. I mean, we had our reservations initially, but after having this discussion, I think they're making every effort to be responsive. You know, we've got to remain optimistic and work together and try to build it.
The Department of Transportation, for its part, is confident Grant can fulfill its promise. In their selection letter, federal officials called it a stable, mature airline with roots in Western Alaska, pointing to its investments in planes and personnel, and arguing that any carrier would have reliability issues in the region's adverse weather. They also cited their financial responsibilities, as Grant's proposal came in $1.5 million below St. George's top pick, Security Aviation, as well as $1 million below the third bidder, Alaska Central Express. Despite the DOT's stance, St. George resident Olga Stepatin has her doubts about Grant.
We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
She tells me her hesitation stems from the new route out of St. George. Planes previously flew to St. Paul and then Anchorage, but Grant is flying to St. Paul and then on Alaska. That means travelers will have to book additional tickets if they want to get to Anchorage from either destination. And as St. Paul and Unalaska have weather issues too, she worries St. George flyers are just going to get stuck between two airlines halfway through their journeys.
Because they have a lot of people over there in fishing boats going over there. And they have a tough time just getting their own passengers out.
Grant is promising St. George that it'll match its schedules with those of Raven Air Group, the company acquiring Panair and taking over its flights between Unalaska and Anchorage, as well as St. Paul and Anchorage. Grant is billing its separate route from Unalaska to both Pribilof communities as another option for travelers used to limited choices. And even with his reservations, Mayor Pletnikoff says he's pretty excited for the direct flight to Unalaska.
No reason why we shouldn't have an exchange of people between Unalaska and St. George and St. George and Unalaska. You know, have our people visit more often and sit down and talk about similar problems and find out how best to address them.
Still, Pletnikoff says he'll be keeping a close eye on Grant and its president. With St. George so reliant on air service, he says the community must hold the carrier accountable.
I have a list on my desk with names and company names and government agencies of the people I need to call to complain. And I'm going to put his name on the top of the list because I want to make damn sure if we have problems, we get them corrected. Our people here at St. George, for the most part, have done without, and they're making the necessary sacrifices to keep the community alive, but they do need help.
As we get back to the airstrip and prepare to board, President Kelly says that Grant is ready to provide some of that help, and he thinks St. George will be happy with the results if they wait and see.
I thought it went well. It was... I think I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, which was try to give them a sense that we are going to service their needs. And I walked away thinking they understood that.
Grant Aviation flies its new route on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. It's also offering an introductory fare at $25 each way. The carrier is planning to switch to a standard fare of $150 or $200 each way starting in the new year. During Tuesday's election, Alaska voters soundly defeated Ballot Measure 1, commonly known as the Stand for Salmon Initiative. The controversial measure was aimed at increasing protections for the state's most iconic fish, and it would have significantly toughened the permitting process for developments in salmon habitat. So its defeat was immediately celebrated by those behind a big, controversial project proposed for Southwest Alaska. Elizabeth Harbaugh has more for Alaska's Energy Desk.
Pebble Limited Partnership CEO Tom Collier says even though his mine proposal wasn't always at the forefront of the debate, the Salmon Habitat Initiative was in some ways all about Pebble.
It was clear that this initiative was aimed at trying to stop Pebble and stop any other major significant resources development project in Alaska.
Pebble's push to develop a copper mine in the Bristol Bay region faces fierce resistance from groups who say it endangers the salmon fishery there. Many of those same groups supported ballot measure one. But Pebble kept a relatively low profile leading up to this election. Although it contributed money to the campaign against the initiative, it didn't play a huge role in the opposition's messaging. Collier says with the initiative's defeat, he's more confident about Pebble's prospects.
You know, we think that responsible development can now go ahead in the state with the rigorous permitting requirements that the state already has in place. And we're eager to be part of that as we move forward.
During the campaign, Ballot Measure 1 supporters were reined in from outright saying it would block Pebble. And there's a legal reason for that. The state of Alaska challenged the initiative in court, saying it went against the state constitution for a ballot measure to prioritize land for one use, here salmon, over other uses, like a mine. The Supreme Court thought some parts of the initiative did just that, and in August removed those parts, allowing the rest to go on the ballot. United Tribes of Bristol Bay Executive Director and anti-Pebble advocate Alana Hurley says she does not think the initiative would have halted the mine, but she believes it still would have helped opponents' cause by putting in place stricter standards. She points out that the Bristol Bay region did vote largely in favor of the ballot initiative.
While those ideals didn't prevail at the statewide level, it's still a really clear indication about our region's priorities and what we value.
The Pebble Limited Partnership wasn't the only mining company happy with the election's outcome. Donlin Gold spokesman Kurt Parkin, whose company is trying to develop a large gold mine in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, said it would have delayed the project's quest to get its major state permits by early next year. Parkin says at a mining conference in Anchorage the next day, many were breathing a sigh of relief.
I think people were surprised at how big the margin was to win by over 63, 64%, was huge. And so people were pretty pleased with that.
Parkin says ballot measure one opponents could be willing to come to the table and negotiate updates to the state's salmon habitat protections. But he said it would have to be through the legislative process rather than by ballot initiative. The initiative sponsors have also said they're going to continue pursuing ways to update the state's laws protecting salmon habitat. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
While statewide voters turned out heavily against the ballot measure, Unalaska voters were strong supporters. The initiative won 58% of the local vote, another instance of island residents deviating from the state's conservative tilt in this election. Most Alaskans supported Republican Mike Dunleavy for governor and Republican Don Young for Congress, but Unalaskans turned out for their respective opponents, Democrat Mark Begich and Independent Elise Galvin, who ran on the Democratic ticket. You can see all of the local election results online at our website. That's KUCB.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.